When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello there. Welcome to Wine Times, brought to you in association with the Sunday Times Wine Club. I'm Annika Rice.
And I'm Will Lyons, the Sunday Times wine columnist and vice president of the Sunday Times Wine Club. Throughout this series, we'll be sharing our love of wine and travel with a host of special guests.
From comics, actors, novelists and more, we'll be hearing about their travelling adventures, giving you a real feel for each region and, more importantly, a taste of it, thanks to Will and his stash of wine.
We're here in London Bridge, our own two-storey wine bar, tap and bottle. It has a lively, bustling atmosphere and plenty of character. The perfect spot to pour the wine and have a good time.
Everyone sitting comfortably and discussing and decanting with Will and myself today is, of course, Angus Deaton. Thank you for coming along,
it's
Angus.
It's a very great pleasure.
Our
I think.
Listeners will know you as the face of the comedy panel show, I feel. That's will how I? I think. Well, Will and I were both saying that we did love your tenure on
oh, we
Have
did.
I Got News
we
for
did.
You.
Oh, okay.
And then
thank
I,
you.
And I didn't know you'd done Would I Lie to You for a
no,
couple of years.
No, most people don't.
That slipped by.
No reason why
one.
They should. I think I did the first couple of series.
A near permanent fixture in the comedy TV and radio circuit in the UK since you made your breakthrough as part of the parody band, the Heebie Jeebies. And
right.
Of course, your radio show, Radioactive, which I saw you last at Edinburgh doing it. Do you remember?
Well,
when I got
you,
locked
you
out of your flat.
You haven't moved on, is what you're saying. You're still doing what you did in 1983.
Aren't we all?
Yes.
Hello.
Yeah. I did a show called Radioactive in the early 80s, and we did a stage version of that recently at Edinburgh Festival.
Which,
you're right.
And I stayed at your flat because Helen Axon Wood somehow found a spare bed. And then I popped out to buy something, a coffee in the morning, closed the door behind me and went off and then just couldn't remember where the flat was. Has anyone ever done that? We had got to bed quite late.
Yes,
anyway,
I think late at night quite a lot of people do that.
Yeah, but as a teenager, you were one of the first DJs when I went to a discotheque. We've discussed this before. Don't look as if you're absolutely confused by what I'm about to tell you.
Okay,
don't you remember
keep
being
talking.
A DJ?
What?
You remember being a DJ?
A DJ, but a radio DJ.
Disco.
The early years
of disco.
Well, I did work on Capital Radio for a while.
No. Way back when you were a teenager.
Right.
Yes,
I did have
it. I can't believe that Angus is
I can't believe that he knew that, but because no one
about
knows
it,
that.
No. Because that, we grew
yes,
up near
school,
each other, near Caterham somewhere.
That's right. I had a discotheque called Translobe Earways. Yeah.
And I went along with my gang of friends. Didn't know you, obviously, but I...
What school
you know,
were you at?
Croydon High School.
Croydon High. Well, my first girlfriend went.
God.
Wasn't you,
but
no.
Can I just say again, this is already throwing me, because we have had this chat in Italy many a time.
Bear in mind that I don't remember what people say to me 5 minutes ago, let alone, you know,
okay, fair
three
enough.
Decades
it's gonna
ago.
It's going to make a
okay,
good
yes,
deal.
I do remember. Yes,
this is about 1974.
It was
a punk.
Yes.
The eve of punk.
I mean, very nearly pre-war. Yeah. yes, and you were at a local school to me, and I used to run a mobile discotheque. Yeah.
You cut your musical teeth, you know.
I literally did. Literally. What were you listening to around that time?
I don't know. I just always remember any disco I went to at that time, they played American Pie as the last song that you had to then spend the whole evening working out who you were going to have your smooch with. It was so stressful.
It was that one. I'm Not in Love by 10cc. That was the other one. And then when you wanted people to dance, you would play That's the Way, brackets, close brackets, I Like It.
Well, apart from the DJing, I then met you as an adult. we put that behind us.
Yes.
And I've had many a happy memory of staying at your house in Umbria, going to the market in Arezzo, the cocktail bar.
Now you're talking about parts of my life that I do remember.
That's good. Yeah. I'm glad we've got a bit more up to date.
That's right, yeah.
The cocktail bar in Città di Castello.
Very good.
That's your nearest town, isn't it?
It is my nearest town, it still is.
Tell us about how you chose this area.
Okay, so...
Because, by the way, we've nominated Angus to do Italy today. Yes. I should have said that at the beginning.
Okay, the whole of Italy.
The whole of Italy.
Right. So we've got three Italian wines.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And we're hoping you'll just go and talk now.
Right. I was wondering when we were going to start talking about wine.
So, give us the setting, though, for Italy and your place in it and why you chose this area.
I have a farmhouse in the middle of Umbria. Well, actually, in the northern part of Umbria. So, technically, I have a farmhouse in Northumbria.
Oh, okay. Very clever.
Do you see what I did?
Yeah.
I've had it for 25 years, so it's taken 25 years to think of that joke. But we came across it, well, I say we, my ex, Lisa Mayer, and I went on a holiday with Nick Hancock, who used to present another quiz show in the 90s. And we all went to this beautiful old castle in Umbria, in a place called Nicone Valley, and we kind of fell in love with the region. And when we looked for somewhere to buy, when we were looking for a sort of holiday home, I wanted France and by the coast, and Lisa wanted Italy and in the hills. And so we compromised with Italy and the hills.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely right. But and anyway, you've very kindly opened your house out to many a sort of group outing of your waifs and strays of friends who, you know, need somewhere to go.
Yes, of which I made
many a trip to Umbria. And I just remember particularly sort of neighbours bringing in trays of produce, of things that we'd literally petted the day before and had suddenly been made into some sort of pate.
Yes.
And all that honey.
They did. They killed a goat for us one Hog Monet.
Yeah.
They cooked for us on New Year's Eve. The local farmer said to my ex, which goat would you like us to kill? She's a vegetarian. So it didn't go down hugely well. It's quite difficult kind of saying, I'd like that one.
Yeah.
Yes.
It does actually kind of bring it home.
Everything centered around food and wine. I mean, breakfast would start with the discussions of where we might be going to eat that evening. I mean, I believe there was the odd church in fresco we sort of
thrown
fitted
in for good measure.
Thrown in on the way.
5 minutes of culture on the way to
But there
more
were also
eating.
Long walks to get to restaurants.
Yes.
And, you know, it was excursions.
And always cab rides back, though. But they do say if you tune into any conversation in an Italian restaurant, they're always discussing what their next meal is going to be.
Yeah.
The whole thing was a joy. So we're really,
it's a pleasure. But thank you for waiting this long to say thank you.
Well, we thought, who better to tackle Italy with Will? And you will see that there's already a glass of wine.
Goodness,
lurking.
I haven't noticed that. But
and you have a spittoon.
Is that what it is? I thought it was an enormously large ashtray. Right, okay.
So,
I hadn't realized.
Did you want to spit or swallow?
Bowl in the top.
It's a rather large one. What do you want to do with your mouth?
I just put it between us and then we can.
Like some sort of fairground game.
I think that I generally prefer to swallow. Is that okay with you?
That's good for me.
Okay.
Yep.
But of course, expert wine tasters could spit like a dart into that spittoon. I'm probably not at that caliber yet.
Is there a technique?
Yeah, you sort of purse your lips and...
But is that different to how you would normally spit? I'm not suggesting that you do normally go around spitting, but is it different?
But I always think that wine writing it's a bit like Hemingway did sort of deep sea fishing and big game hunting, because writing novels was, it wasn't macho at all. But writing about wine is probably the least macho thing you can do. So what wine writers tend to do to show off their prowess is spit really.
Be really good.
Yeah, and at the big trade tastings we have here in London, the spittoons are normally aluminium. So as you spit, it sort of ricochets off, echoes around the room.
Sort of swirls around.
Could you not afford an aluminium?
No,
this is sort of cheap black plastic.
It really
and a lot of our guests
don't
like to spit. But if you do want to practice,
I
was wondering if Claire Balding's spit would be there.
Claire Balding decided to swallow.
Yeah. That's my girl.
I'd
prefer to swallow anyway, so let's put spitting to one side.
Well, our first wine.
Yeah, go for it, Will.
Which I pre-poured. So we're heading down to Campania. We're just off the Bay of Naples in the region... the Romans referred to as Campania Felix, the fertile land. And have you been to the island of Capri?
Interestingly, not.
No, I
never have.
Oh, sure.
It's not a side of Italy that I particularly much like, but a bit too south of France.
Well, we're not going there. So we're just above there.
So that can be cut
good.
Out, yes. That bit, yes.
So I'm delighted.
So we're in a small island called Ischia.
I was about to say that's where I would like to go if I was going to go anywhere down there.
And I think it's been growing vines for thousands of years. I think certainly the Romans. And it's all about... That's down there, isn't it? Volcanic soil.
I love that whole area. Have we been to Naples together?
No, sorry,
I was just checking. I know I've been painting there.
I think we've had a long holiday.
I've been on an art trip to Naples, and I just blew my mind. I love the kind of seaminess of it. You know,
it's kind of disowned by the rest of Italy.
I love it for that.
You know, there's this political party in Italy called the League of the North, and it basically wants to divide Italy between the north, which would have basically Tuscany and Venice and Verona and Milan and Turin and Rome, and the rest of it is basically Naples. There's more support for it south of the border than there is in the north.
But you do feel with Naples, you are slightly on the naughty step, though. So the island you're talking about is here always seems like this sort of jewel, just sort of off the coast.
And you're on the sort of Tyrian Sea there, aren't you?
It is very narrow
street.
Are you kind of referring to the mafia as being on the naughty step?
Just generally.
Those contract killings.
Just generally. You walk around and it's just...
naughty.
But I always think, though, the more you think about Italy, the more I visit it, it really is just a landscape of towns and villages and kingdoms, really, that's all been amalgamated into this one country. But actually, it's so diverse. I mean, it's
quite recent. I mean, it's only been a nation since like 1900 or something. And it was just all little principalities and all warring principalities, you know, sort of rival brothers and things. It has quite a bloody history.
So I remember the last time I was in Tuscany, I said to the taxi driver, "So are you from Florence?" He goes, "No, I'm from Siena." And he was really cross about it. I was like, right, okay.
And they're about 20 minutes
away. So this small jewel of an island that Annika was talking about, it's known for white wine.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
No, and this is a very unusual grape variety. I mean, the other great thing about Italy is everyone grows wine. So unlike France, where you have sort of the Appellation Controle system, so you have sort of seven or eight big regions, so it's quite easy to comprehend after a bit of reading and a bit of learning. Italy, I think Hugh Johnson described it as like mapping the inside of a beehive. It's so complicated because everyone is growing.
It's also the case that if you go to different parts of Italy, you'll look at the wine list and see completely different wines.
Yeah.
Because they don't kind of market them.
It's
market
hyper-local,
them in the same
yes.
way
so
as,
they don't
as
have the big.
So
if you go to Bordeaux and you go to a wine, you'll only see the wines of Bordeaux. And the same in the Rhone Valley. But in Italy, there's so many indigenous grape varieties that haven't travelled internationally, really.
The one in Umbria is Grichetto.
Yes.
Come across a lot of Grichetto.
I remember a lot of Amarone. Yeah.
Oh, that's Amarone. Up north. That's sort of Venetian, isn't it?
Yeah, that's in... Yeah. And,
drink a lot of that?
Well,
I mean, easily. We opened the bottle and got the glass and just drank it.
Loads of,
do you remember Mr. Fatty's restaurant at San Sepolcro, where Mr. Fatty just stated the obvious, and this is pasta, pasties made of wheat.
That's
and then
right.
he'd get the visitor's book out.
Broccoli. We have broccoli. Broccoli is green cauliflower.
But then he'd proudly show us the visitor's book announcing that Mr. Angus Deaton signed it and you'd be sitting there. Will does spend a lot of time talking about how he's about to have a sip and it takes forever, so crack on.
And how I can sit out.
Because honestly, wait 10 minutes for him to go like that and then in, out.
Annika, I've got to pronounce the grape variety correctly here.
Okay, good luck.
So is it Biancolella?
Biancolella.
Never heard of that.
Biancolella.
Yeah. Cheers.
So
cheers.
I think we just plod on and we'll sniff for a bit longer.
I'll keep plodding.
And the
look, he's,
the vineyards are clustered around the lower mountain of Mount Apemio, I think. Anyway, the estate is run by Lucia Monti. It's a fourth generation. But the winery was founded in the 1700s.
Blimey.
You could have as an aperitif for on its own or with what would be the seafood there. I think it would be that sort of fried fish.
Seabass, branzino.
Yes, branzino. Mm-hmm. But anything cooked in salt.
Yeah.
Lots of salt.
Yeah, they love salt down there. Down there,
it's sort of. I'm feeling a bit of fennel.
It's quite a common thing in Italy. That it has a slightly sour aftertaste.
Just for listeners, it's got this sort of bright straw yellow colour. But you're absolutely right with fennel. But then quite a rounded texture. It's quite creamy on the mouth, actually.
Well, I'm liking it. I would drink more.
Yeah,
that's not a hint.
Yeah.
my glass is empty. It has that quite common Italian thing of being sweet instantly and then there
very
being
dry
a slight
on the finish. Yeah.
Dry and slightly sour.
And especially to the south, you get that sort of volcanic element, which gives it that really dry sort of saline. I mean, you can still taste it now, can't you?
Yeah.
Let's drink to holidays.
Future trips,
I think, she said in a sort of hinting sort of question.
Yes, future holidays.
This is Wine Times with Annika Rice.
And Will Lyons.
We'll be back with more great wine and conversations before you even get a chance to top up your glass.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know, wine's obviously a big part of your life. And I just wondered whether it
started... That sounds like Basil Fawlty saying, you obviously drink a lot.
Yeah. No.
I mean...
No, but I just wondered whether it started at home in Caterham or you waited till you got to university, perhaps. Or, you know.
I don't think we could afford wine at university. I think we drank lager.
Lager.
But you had lots of wine societies at Oxford, didn't you?
Yes, I wasn't part of them. I think it was quite pricey. The very dangerous thing about Oxford was you had an off-licence in every college. It was called a pantry. The butler's pantry wouldn't be called an off-licence. Basically, it was a huge wine store. The wine cellar sort of carried on underneath the college, stretched from one side of the college to the other. And you would just sign for all the booze that you basically took. I think on the expectation that...
That you would pay at some point.
All the parents would pay for little Johnny's off-licence bill at the end of the term, which I think a lot of them did. But obviously, I knew my parents would say, well, I don't think we'll be doing that.
So you just carried on drinking? No.
So we drank in the pub and we drank beer, but I didn't. I wasn't really into wine.
Because it must have been extraordinary, I always think, because there was such a sort of comedy crowd that you were with, like Rowan Atkinson and Richard Curtis. And I just always wonder, when you're in that moment, do you think, wow, this is an extraordinary group of people? that I am lucky enough to be in plays with?
No, not really, because you, well, I imagine that every other university would have the equivalent of a Richard Curtis and a Rowan Atkinson. You don't realise when you're at university that they're special until you leave. And then you suddenly think, oh, actually, these guys who we thought were brilliant
Are actually rather good. Should we go on to wine number two?
Wine number two. Let me pour it first, actually.
That's always helpful.
Yes. Well, I'm happy to speak from the bottle, if that's the way
we
read.
Oh, Will, this is my birthday, it feels like.
Oh, are you a red aficionado?
What about you? Which way do you swing?
I could go either way.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
I'm bi, I think. Yeah. I quite like an orange wine.
Yes.
I'm not saying I like to eat
an orange wine.
It's all the rage. It's slightly overpriced in my view. But
it all starts in Italy, actually. What you do is you soak the skins of a white wine. So what we would call macerate for a long period of time. And that gets the colour to go this sort of deep amber colour. And it became incredibly fashionable in Paris in the noughties. And it has a lot of tannin because you get tannin from
skin.
Yeah, so it tastes quite spicy and quite dry. And I recently wrote a column on orange wine, which I would never have done, never dreamt of doing sort of 5 years ago. But as you said, it's all the rage. You find it a lot in supermarkets now.
Yeah.
It's a good excuse to charge double.
Yeah.
I thought it was something maybe that the Californians had invented and we kind of inherited it.
I thought it was from Orange County, so anyway, we are clutching our nose.
We're going where all roads lead to.
All roads are leading to
We're going to Tuscany. To Montalcino, the beautiful hilltop village where it sort of sits between, you know, those wonderful hills between Florence and Siena. I think we're just 5 miles south of Siena, aren't we?
Yes.
Are you going to spit?
Definitely
It's incredible if you go there because it's so high up. It's like being in a hot air balloon.
Montalcino, So this is Brunello or Rosso?
So this is a Brunello del Montalcino. So the grape variety is Sangiovese. And it's the village's take on Sangiovese.
It's one of the super Tuscans.
It's not. It's
What's the difference between this and a super Tuscan?
So a super Tuscan was...
Can we take a sip?
Come on, Will, you've really got to speed this up. Because honestly, we could go to Lupin's next door, have a very nice plate of tapas and come back and his nose would still be in there and he would have noticed we'd gone.
But all you need to know about
Montalcino
Sangiovese is its high acidity and it's dry. And if you look at it, it's sort of translucent.
Isn't it the basic grape of Chianti?
Chianti. It is. Yeah. And so in the 70s, Montalcino was nothing really. And this is one of the great wines in Italy now.
I have.
Will be following shortly.
I'll tell you who made a lot of money from Super Tuscans.
Yes.
Alec Ferguson. I'll tell you who lost a lot of money from Super Tuscans. Me.
Wrong
year.
Super Tuscans are sort of, but you have sort of French grape varieties married with Italian indigenous grape varieties. Which one did you buy? Can you remember?
I bought a few. I bought some Brunellos, Cinellellos.
Yes.
Ornellaias.
Yeah, Ornellaias.
Solaia.
Tignellas,
Sassicaia.
Yeah.
Anything
all the ones in the discount now.
The ones you get in the Tesco bargain basement.
It's a bit like anything, if it's a house price or anything. There was a boom. It took off, and the price doubled. It's where you bought on that.
When do you think I bought, and when do you think I sold?
The black run going down that mountain. I love this. Yeah.
It's the king of wines.
Yes,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Brunello di Montalcino,
and it's got sort of tobacco character as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of coffee-ish.
Yeah, coffee, rose petals, maybe.
Goodness. I think you're making it up now.
This has had a lot.
Brick dust.
Can I just say we literally are making it up?
What else you get, Angus?
I'm getting a sore neck, actually.
I love it.
I love it, but it is... if you asked me what my favourite wine was, I would pretty much say this.
Yeah.
Oh, would you?
Yeah.
Well, that was
Any of the super Tuscan... Well, yeah. I know this. So why isn't this one, then?
It's 100% Sangiovese, and it's by... an estate founder called Casanova Di Neri.
I don't recognise the label, but the name.
So it's not triggering you to a really sad point of your life of failure too much?
Not yet, but give us a few minutes.
Yeah, okay.
And did Sir Alex and you often discuss wine? And
Yes. He's very knowledgeable on a number of subjects, but he does know. He knows his wine, and he particularly likes Italian wine. And
has he been out at your house?
No, don't
worry. That's a genuine question.
Yes, no reason why he shouldn't. Yeah, other than the fact that we don't know each other.
He must be.
No, he's never. But maybe I should invite you and him.
That would be interesting.
For 1 weekend.
Yeah, 1 weekend. Very short weekend. Sort of Saturday morning to Sunday.
It's not really worth it. I wouldn't bother.
It's built to go with food, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we are completely drinking this out of context. And this would, again, I would think this would go really well with meat. Have you ever been to that?
Or truffles.
Or truffles, exactly.
Tagliatelle with truffles and a glass of red wine. Literally nothing nicer.
Did you smell truffles as you walked in today? Because, no, weirdly, they spilt, what was it, truffle oil? There was a whole thing of truffle oil was spilt.
Oh, so, well, downstairs.
Anya, our producer, when she walked in this morning, went, I can smell truffles. And I accused her of, you know, being on the wacky-backy, frankly. I mean, what was going on there?
Well, maybe both. Have you come across these pepper mills that have dried truffles in them?
No, and I haven't actually.
Oh. Yeah, you can grind truffles onto your fried egg or whatever.
Oh, delicious.
Yes.
Yeah.
But truffle cheese.
Isle of Wight, they make a very good garlic and truffle oil.
Oh, Isle of Wight this, Isle of Wight that.
Well, there's a garlic farm in the Isle of Wight, isn't there? But I would go an hour north of where we are. Have you been to Panzano in Chianti, where there's a very famous butcher called Dario?
And I don't know.
You could have a steak with
him. You know Dario?
Dario the butcher from Valenza, no, I haven't.
I think this would go so well with
one of Dario's. Yeah.
Well, listen, Will is doing you such a favour because next trip you'll have projects to
I'm
which
write it
bit
all
of
down.
What aspects of Italian culture would you import back to the UK?
Goodness me, I can think of some I wouldn't. They used to have a really annoying habit in restaurants, if I can just have a go at the Italians, of actually eating whilst having a cigarette at the same time. So they'd actually be holding a cigarette in their left hand while sort of shoveling in delicious food with their right. But they wouldn't put it out. They just kept it going.
Yeah. Forgive me for going back to this, but are you a big Manchester United fan?
Yes, I am.
So did you go to the big Italian games in like the 1990s?
Yes.
The San Siro?
Yes.
Because I treated myself to, I was in Milan in February, treated myself to a game. So I went to see AC Milan v Torino. And I thought, well, I'll do hospitality, actually. It was a real treat. But the hospitality starts after the game, and the game starts so late that they start at 9 o'clock.
Mm.
It's because everyone goes home, has a meal, puts the children to bed, and then goes to watch the football game. And then has a meal afterwards.
That's so civilised.
Yeah. That is something we should
report back. Would that be the bit of culture you'd bring
well,
back?
Well, yeah. Although
the,
I have to say at Old Trafford, the food is spectacular.
Yeah.
Because Tom Kerridge does all the food. And the wines, ever since Alec Ferguson has become a member of the board of directors rather than the manager, the wines have kind of...
Yes, it's actually a Brazilian chap, master of wine called Viano. Junior. He does all the wine for VIP Manchester United, and I hear it's very good.
Oh, it's stunning. Yeah.
So he has a match of wine with prawn sandwiches, which is always tricky.
So that's Roy Keane had a lot to answer for. Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
Well, cheers.
Tell us about our third treat. I love this one though, Will. You've made me very
delicious.
Really is going down a treat.
It's funny how the French don't seem to like Italian wines. Why would that be?
Well, we are talking about a country where you have a fierce rivalry between Bordeaux and Burgundy. So in France, I don't think they like any other wine outside of their own region, let alone any other country. And certainly,
right, that makes sense.
When I was down there, the last time I was down there in the summer, for an Englishman to start telling, I'm talking about France now, to start
I've lost my train of thought. He says he's swallowing.
He's obviously sipping because he's absolutely.
So for an Englishman to start sort of ruminating, no, for an Englishman to pontificating on the quality of their wines.
Mm.
I mean, obviously the wine owners don't mind it, but I was having dinner with the mayor of the local village, and I started to, you know, give my opinion of the wine, and you know his nose was very much out of joint.
Was it not 100%?
Well, I don't think he thought that anyone apart from a Frenchman could possibly give a comment on their wines.
Well, do you know when Paris and London were up against each other for the Olympics.
Yes.
The president, I think, of France said, you can't possibly give it to London. They have the worst food outside of Finland. So with that one comment, he lost the Finnish vote and obviously all of it. And we won that by one vote.
Gosh, really?
Yeah. That's interesting thing to see.
But the irony is, London is the trading center of wine for the whole world. And we've always drank in this country. Okay, it was albeit 2% of the population. We've drank the finest wines in the world. So the English aristocracy have always drunk the finest wines of France, much more so than they have in France, actually. So, you know, we have a deep understanding.
Is that a palate thing or a kind of snobbery, go for the best vineyards?
Just go for the best. And I think also it goes back, does it go back to Charles I or Charles II when the court just loved anything French?
Mm.
And so our cellars here, if you think of Buckingham Palace's cellar, is filled to the brim with French wines.
So tell us about wine number three.
So we're in Abruzzo on the Adriatic coast. It's directly east of Rome. And the great variety here is Montepulciano.
Yes.
And this is just a very sort of, I think what the Sunday Times Wine Club does really well, easy drinking, almost like a table wine, good quaffing red, I would say. It would go well with a midweek supper of sort of pizza.
Oh,
in front of a Champions League game.
I can hardly be bothered to have it.
I was going to diss it even further and say that ordinarily, if you see Montepulciano on a wine list,
you check
whether it's Montepulciano in Tuscany, which is normally Vino Nobile, or the one in Abruzzo, if it was Abruzzo.
But the point is,
this could be the wine.
So Angus makes a really good point because they can get confused. But it's okay to like everything. And actually, every wine has its place.
Yes, and there's always a pizza on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes Tuesdays.
Tuesdays. Can I just say, are you still doing... No, it's just when you said Tuesday, I suddenly thought, are you still playing football?
Yes.
Is that on a Tuesday?
Yes, tomorrow night.
Do you know he plays football?
As opposed to what?
No, but I'm impressed. Well, it's because we've been talking about you watching it a lot.
Yes, that's right.
So you actually,
well, there's a
on
bunch
the
of
Tuesday.
Comedians who meet every Tuesday night and attempt to play. We've just been out to Italy because we have once a year we play an 11-a-side game.
I love that.
Brilliant. In Italy. The rest of the time we play in the Holloway Road.
But I love the way some of your kids are now in the team.
Yes. So we rely on them. Yeah. No, they're very good.
So you've got low acidity and soft tannins in this.
The wine has, not me. I do have low acidity.
Yeah, I know, exactly. It's easy drinking and
it is. I think, you know,
supplying
the producer of this
Angus.
Program, I would have put this one second and then finished on the Brunello.
Mm.
Can we edit that in such a way?
No.
Oh, okay. No. Too late.
We wanted to lull you into a full sense of security.
There's a reason why we didn't do that.
Right.
Oh yeah, tell us the reason.
Because it was my choice. It's because this is richer. And I think to go from this to the Brunello would have slightly jarred, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, because this is rich. It's got much more fruit.
Hang on, I'm going to have to now have them side by side. I'm going to do a double.
If we carry on discussing this one whilst I actually drink this one. Yeah.
That's why I'm doing a handy.
But isn't this Brunello just...
Isn't it though? Yeah. Let's go back to the Brunello. Yeah, the Brunello.
And now you can go back to the Brunello and you can really smell the different those aromas.
I mean, we don't want to be unkind to that third wine because people listening will have just ordered 5 crates of that for Christmas and be gutted.
And Abruzzo gets a bad press anyway, doesn't it? It's always where all the earthquakes take place.
But it's...
Where the hospitals basically are razed to the ground because the cement is made by the mafia and the cement, and they just, instead of using proper sand for the cement, they just get planes to get loads of sand from the beaches. They just dig up huge amounts of sand from the beach and just use that to make the cement. Of course, it doesn't make proper cement. And then when there's an earthquake, all the hospitals fall to the ground. So I'll probably get murdered now, will I?
Yeah, well, I think we might...
It's their stack equivalent, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, as I said, it's okay to like everything. And that's the one thing I like to... But this is an exceptional Brunello di Montepulciano. And if you go back, remember we were coming up with all those elaborate tasting notes.
Mm.
Smell it now, you can really smell.
Which one? On number two.
Number two.
It's just delicious, isn't it, Angus?
Is there any way of getting any Tagliatelle with truffles?
at all.
Before the end of the show, get some truffles in.
I don't want to sound sort of cantankerous.
I think you
but
are.
I kind of feel that truffles can be a little bit expensive for what they are.
That is very contentious. I'm not sure we can be friends.
We are going to introduce food, though, Will. We've got to introduce food. Honestly, I just want to lie down on the floor.
We've got a blackboard up there saying red pepper tapenade.
Annika, the
aubergine with tahini. I mean, you're just toying with us now.
Yes. Look at the actual menu.
So the first time we actually did discuss this podcast, I was like, brilliant, we'll have wine and food. And the producer, not Anya, our great producer, said, no, it can't possibly have food because of the noise it makes.
Can a gentle nibble be worse than Will just spewing out?
Always look at any meal scene in any movie or TV show and everyone is going like that, but they never actually eat. So if they eat, it'll be like a tiny thimbleful, although they'll go, and another thing.
That's true.
They never actually consume anything.
Angus, what a treat to have you along today.
Are you saying goodbye?
More or less quite soon.
Are you off?
No.
We're carrying on.
We're going to do a podcast
on football and wine.
There is a time limit, baby.
Thanks for coming, though. It's been really lovely. Everyone, Annika Rice.
Bye!
Did you have a favourite wine? I imagine.
Yes. I think you probably know my favourite wine.
It was the Tuscan.
I could have probably told you that before. Yeah. I even tasted them. But yes, the Brunello was my favourite of the three. And actually, if you said, what's your favourite wine in the world, it would probably be Brunello.
God, we had that along today.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Because there's no research done on this show.
Yeah, well, I can tell. Not that it hasn't been enjoyable.
Have you enjoyed it a bit?
Yes, it's been
excellent. You still haven't told us your cultural takeaway to bring back to the UK, apart from the fact that you want meals after football matches.
Yeah. What do they do rather well? Restaurant hospitality would be nice.
Hospitality.
Actually, turning up and saying, can I have a table for 15 people? And they go, yes.
You're just a general joie de vivre sort of.
Yeah. And they sort of take the kids off your hand and take them into the kitchens and let them play with
knives,
saucepans.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Bubbling vats on the stove.
It's a great place for kids, isn't it? Because they love kids.
Yeah.
And the kids love the food there. Because you know, it's all fascinating.
I mean, I went skiing in Italy and I'd always, before that, skied in France. And I couldn't get used to the fact that at lunchtime you'd kind of turn up and say, you know, we need a table for 14 people. And they'll go, yes, by all means. Whereas in France, it's, you know, you're going to have a table for 3 people. What? You haven't booked? You know? No. Go away.
Oh, we've covered a lot today. Yeah, thank you, guys. Until the next time.
Definitely.
Well, that's it from us today. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Wine Times in association with the Sunday Times Wine Club. The series producer is Anya Pierce, the producer Callum McRae, and the assistant producer has been Shana Johnson.
You can follow the podcast so you never miss an episode. Just do this via your favourite podcast app.
We'll be back next week with more delicious wines and another great guest.
And remember that all of the wines we tasted today are noted in the episode description, and you can get your hands on all of them from the Sunday Times Wine Club website.
But from all of us here at the Tap and Bottle, thank you very much for listening. We hope to see you next week for more Wine Times.